He said very nice things about you and how you helped him.
Oh, well, I would say nice things about Jim. He's a great guy. Jim, I've known Jim for many years because of his, you know, he's married to Doris Sims, who's worked for the city for many, many years. But Jim and I also served recently on the utility service board together, and I found him a very thoughtful person, and really appreciate how he goes about doing his public service. So, yeah, he's a great person.
And he was trying to explain the balance of life and public service, and I don't think there was disdain in his voice. You can go back and listen to the interview, but I kind of read between the lines, like, what did Mayor really get me into here? I've got this stuff at IU, I've got the church, I've got my golf game, and then all of a sudden, here is convention center, food and beverage tax, and budget, and everything else that's going along with it. I bet you don't miss a minute of it, do you?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a little funny story. I ran into Councilmember Ruff not that long ago, about two, three weeks ago. And we were talking, and he said, so, Tim, he said, you retired right after the council's vacation, and you knew that the budget was coming up and the growth policies plan, and you planned it that way, didn't you?
Absolutely. I'll speak for you.
There.
Well, that shows you're a seasoned veteran, and because the council has had their hands full. I just wanted to have you on today because in the last 2 weeks in the paper, I've seen growth plans. I can't keep all these agencies. What's the word I'm looking for? We've got this planning department,
projects,
that planning department.
Stuff, yeah.
How this all intertwines. Do you miss sorting all this out?
I'm sorry, say again.
Do you miss sorting out all these, this is the economic redevelopment, this is the regular redevelopment, this is the, it just
well,
seems
I
like
think,
there's a category for everything.
Well, that's true, but having served for as long as I did serve, that just becomes part of the jargon and part of what you do on a day-to-day basis. And as Sue has pointed out, you know, it's more than one meeting a week. It's mm-hmm. multiple meetings every week, one way or another, or, you know, getting more information that you have to process. So, it's pretty, there's multiple levels, as you point out, and it takes a while to get used to them and figure out what do you really need? What information do you really need to make the decision that you're being asked to make? That's kind of the, for lack of a better word, the trick to it, to figure out, exactly what you need and don't overcomplicate it, which some do and probably unnecessarily. But
Tim, let me ask you a question. You've been through this before, and now they're talking again on the convention center, the food and beverage tax. What's the deal on that? Why is it a no-brainer, or why isn't it a no-brainer?
Well, I don't have the answer to that. I wish I did understand why it was, a no-brainer, because, for me, from my perspective, I think the convention center expansion would probably benefit our community in many ways, because it would not only be used for people coming to our city, but it also become a venue for our city. So, to me, the food and beverage tax is a small price to pay for the greater good of the community, which would be an expanded convention center with more opportunities for meeting space and gathering space for the community. So, I would not be opposed to a food and beverage tax at all. I think it's, would be money well spent in the long run. So,
what's been the deal killer on it in the past?
Well, I think, that the county government has to pass the food and beverage tax.
Right.
And even though the city is a major part of the county, I think county government looks at their jurisdiction outside of the city limits. Although, here I am sitting in my home in the city of Bloomington, and I am a county resident. So But I think because of the county council thinking that their jurisdiction is outside of the city and that they receive the lesser portion of the food and beverage tax, they have a difficult decision to make, and that is what drives their thinking on that.
Why is that portion lesser? Is it just based on population? Simply as that.
I think it has to do with where the tax is collected.
Gotcha. So if it's all collected downtown, how is that helping anybody that lives out in the county, so to speak?
Well, it would help in that, and I would think it would help in many ways. It would increase the revenues within the city, which would lessen burdens elsewhere. It increases tourism in the community, which would benefit people in the county as well as it would people in the city through greater income coming into the city. It provides jobs that wouldn't necessarily go to city residents only. It could go to county residents as well as residents outside of our county, for that matter. So, there's a lot of benefit, I think, that could be realized from making that decision.
Has anyone asked you to serve on any of these boards or commissions, or is your retirement too fresh for that just yet?
No. yes and no. I will be most likely serving on the Community Development Block Grant Commission coming up, which typically happens in December and January, at the end of the year and the first of the year. Assuming that Community Development Block Grants go forward under the current federal administration. I'm still volunteering. Sue and I both volunteer at the Community Kitchen, and I'm kind of ramped that up a little bit. I'm involved with 50-plus men, and there's a few other irons in the fire that I really can't talk about just yet.
Look at that, Keith.
State legislature?
Governor, mayor, answer the question.
It is not elected office.
Oh, we know it wouldn't be elected office. Then we couldn't have as much fun on this program. But what else have you seen from your other side of the, I don't want to say other side of the chair, other side of the aisle, but since you're not
civilian duty.
Civilian life, is it a different lens, obviously, or do you still look at it with that same eye you've looked at it for so many years?
It's a mixture of both. I'm just trying to think how to say it.
for example, when you pick up the paper and see what happened at the council meeting last night, and you say, "Oh, they're going back and forth on this." Geez,
Well, it's interesting. I have been reading. I do read the paper religiously every day, and a friend of mine said to me, "You'll stop reading the paper soon," and I don't think that'll be the case.
Yeah, me neither. I can't do it.
Always be involved and thinking about the community. I followed with a lot of interest the rollout of the new sanitation program, which was something that, I was fortunate enough to make a decision on and wanted to see that go forward. And I'm, very complimentary of Adam Wason for the work that he did to get that program. He's the director of Public Works, to get that in place and up and running. I'm on a few of the listservs from neighborhoods out there, and I was a little bit befuddled as to why people had so much consternation about the program. It seems to me it was well thought out and pretty well implemented going forward when they first rolled it out. So, you're right. I do look at it from both sides of the issue now, more so. I guess as a citizen than as an elected official.
What's been the biggest, since you obviously planned when you were going to leave. Now, budget time, we know about budgets and all of that. Was there anything that you saw that happened when you weren't there? You said, geez, maybe I should have stuck it out and pushed and shoved a little harder on this issue?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I didn't give you a list of questions before the show. I just wanted if anything jumped off.
I think I would have probably taken a little different approach on the comprehensive plan than some of the things I'm reading about. From what I understand and what I'm, and this is only from what I read in the paper and have casual conversations with people about, you know, I think they're honing too fine an edge, they being the council, too fine an edge on some of the issues and, you know, trying to dictate predictable outcomes, which I think are always kind of a little bit chancy to do when you're dealing with something like development, because there's so many elements that come into play. And, you know, that I think maybe I would have argued a little bit against that to the level that some are pushing some of the amendments that are going forward. So
Tim,
I think that's probably one.
Is there something you particularly miss about government?
Well, I don't think I've lost the opportunity. I think I've, because I served so long, I still have, you know, open doors in City Hall that I can.
Okay.
If there's an issue, if a neighbor complains about something, I can make a phone call and have a conversation. I just happened last night. I went to a meeting. I still attend meetings for the Downtown Bloomington Commission, and I was talking with Scott Robinson about outdoor seating, where a particular restaurant is kind of pushing the envelope a little bit too much, and he said he would take a look at it and see what he could do. So, I still have those relationships, which I value and will use when I have to.
That's right. Yeah. You're like the neighborhood mafia captain now, right? Anybody
exactly.
got any problem, they knock on your door. Tim, help me.
I don't want to get into any names, Tim, but do any of your former colleagues call you for advice? Or counsel?
Maybe
how should I vote? But,
maybe they should.
Hey, Tim, how would you look at this?
No, I haven't had that happen yet.
Okay.
Although there's a couple of council members that Sue and I get together with socially. So.
And that's all off the record talk anyhow. So
that
doesn't count. The annexation deal with Cook moving forward, why didn't we just do that from day one, in your opinion?
Well,
it lapsed. You've been here for 100 years. You saw it lapsed in 2012, and now we've just brought it back. Would if we'd done that before the annexation part of that, or was that a last ditch because the annexation didn't work?
Well, it's probably the latter.
Okay.
And it kind of befuddled me that that we didn't do that, because we, for many, many years, we had the West Side Industries Fund.
Right, right.
And
1979, I remember reading that.
Yeah, and that was called in lieu of annexation. So basically what happened there was when, there's a little bit of history that I don't know, but there were people like Mr. Dunn and Mr. Ferguson, that would be Jim Ferguson and Pete Dunn, and Dick Schmaltz, I believe, was part of that group. They worked very hard in the 50s and 60s to get the Westside Industries to locate where they were, and then part of that agreement was that they would pay an annual fee in lieu of annexation, which made the deal work for them at that time, that point in time. So the model was there, and in lieu of annexation had been negotiated more than one time. So the model again, was there for that, I kind of wondered why that hadn't happened that way this time around. I think it would have made a difference.
Do you remember why it lapsed in 2012? From reading,
well, I think it was just because I don't know exactly, but
okay.
I would assume it was because most of the industries had gone away.
Oh, fair point.
It was down to
Good
General
point.
Electric and what was being being. What I wanted to say was the United Technologies building was in use for something other than what it was intended.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Otis was on the way.
That was about it. Yeah, that was about it. So,
was that a good move for the city and the county to do that?
I think it was, because it kind of takes off that whole issue off the table, and it guarantees a way to go forward with industry on the west side. So, yeah. You know, let's face it, the industry is going to look for predictability, and that's one way you can kind of guarantee it if you negotiate out what they'll contribute to the community on an annual basis. So, you know, and General Electric was a major player in our community when it comes down to things like United Way. They would run a company-wide campaign, very, very involved in the community that way. You may lose a little bit on the tax side, but you get it back on the community involvement side. So
yeah, it just can't be black or white. It's just like with the comprehensive plan. Everything is just not one or the other. There are other ways to look
at
things. Now, when you pick up the paper each morning, anything you're looking for, any story you're following right now that we should probably keep maybe another eye on, or are we just cruising along here enjoying it?
Well, I think the expansion of the convention center is going to probably be, coming up more and more as they move forward. Nothing is set in stone at this point in time. They're still exploring ways to go about it, funding options, and all of those things. It was pointed out recently that the schematic drawings that were shown in the in our local paper, the Herald Times, were schematic at best. It was just to say that yes, we can do this, but it's not firm. It's not a solid proposal at all. I think there'll be a lot of conversation in the community about the wisdom in going forward with that. We'll have to see. But I do think the concept is a good concept and one that will be a benefit to our community, not a negative. So,
do you think the financing they have for it, in theory, that will cover the staffing, the maintenance, all the stuff that goes with that, or is this just to get it up and running? That's kind of what people have asked, pulled me aside and said, hey, look, you know, if we're going to do this, does this cover the building of it, or does this cover the running of it, or both? I'm a little lost.
Well, I think that's the nitty-gritty that people are starting to explore right now.
Okay, so that hasn't been out there, or there hasn't been a solution.
No, and I don't think there's anyone stepping up and saying this is how it's going to be. I think there people are stepping up and saying let's explore this and see how we can do it.
But you've been around long enough to know let's not build it and have it then try to figure out how to fund it, right? That's not the way.
Oh yeah, that would be a disaster. Yeah.
Well, and then I think people want to hurry and just get it up there and say we've got it up there, but you also have to find a way to fill it. You have to find a way to maintain it, serve it, whatever it takes. There's more than one issue to that. You've taught me that well.
Yeah, that's true. I think the business plan has to be in place before they can go forward with it, and they know that, and they're working on that. So, you know, if people think that decisions have been made, I think their thinking is not correct. They're very open to public discussion, and that will be forthcoming, but it's not quite there yet. So, but it will.
Is there a point to have the public discussion when it's not there yet, or is it better when you have these things or most of these things on paper moving forward?
Well, you need something to talk about,
besides conjecture and yelling.
Excuse me?
Besides conjecture and yelling?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, you need to build a table so that you can sit around it, you know?
Amen. That's funny but true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just want everybody barking at the moon about this. We know that taxes, nobody wants to raise taxes. Nobody wants to do this. The one discussion that's brought up more frequently than others is multiple ways of paying for it instead of just pigeonholing it into one group. The city has to kick in their part. The county has to kick in their part. Everybody's got to kick in their fair share. Is that how these things get done?
Well, I think so. And, you know, don't forget there is the potential for a food and beverage tax. There is the innkeeper's tax. So, I mean, there are some things in place, and there are some things that could be put in place to make it happen. It's just that, you know, people have to find a comfort level and be able to feel that it can work before I think, before they actually go forward. So,
Tim, how much of a challenge is it to have the county and the city play nicely together?
I chuckle because I don't think it's all that hard for it to happen. And I think it happens actually more frequently than people actually realize it. You know, our city and county planning departments that get together and talk all the time about, you know, the interface between city and county, and you know, our building permits are all controlled by the county government. Not, you know, in the past, many years ago, if you were going to do something, build something in the city, and you needed a permit, you would go to the city planning department and get a city permit. That no longer is. That hasn't been that way for many, many years. If you have something in the city you want to build, you do go through the city planning process. But when it comes to time to get the permit and the inspection for building and all that, that is all handled by county government. So, and that's been in place for many years, and it works very well. So, you know, I think there are models for how things can happen and how things can work, and they're in place, and they do work.
Tim, before we let you go, one of the things that's been expressed somewhat frequently of late is the amount of high-rise apartment complexes are being built all around the city.
Yes.
Does this represent a change in philosophy, or is this good or bad? I mean, you've been there for a number of years. You've seen those discussions over the years about, oh, we don't want to do anything to the skyline of downtown Bloomington, etc.
Well, you know, it's currently in the plan that we are currently working under, that being the growth policies plan, the comprehensive plan that was passed a number of years back. So that kind of enabled the community to go forward. You know, I recall when the RCA plant, or Thompson, closed many years ago, and I was on the council at that time. I think it was before Duke Energy, but the electric utility that was in place at the time offered to give people an opportunity to go up in a helicopter and look at the former Thompson RCA site, and part of that was to fly you out over the city, and a funny story to that, they flew out. And we passed over our home, and I could see Sue sitting in the backyard as we flew over, which is pretty funny. They took us out over the bypass and came up the College Walnut Corridor, and I was struck by how much surface parking there was on the ground at that point in time. And if I were to get in a helicopter today and fly up and down that College Walnut Corridor, it would be a very, very different picture. So, you know, we have done a lot in terms of housing within this community, but unfortunately most of that housing has been geared towards the academic side of the community, the IU community. I mean, let's face it, that's mostly student housing at this point in time. So, you know, that's the big challenge before us, is how do we make housing affordable for those people who live and work in our community. I don't think we want to become something like Aspen, Colorado, where, you know, all the people who work in the community live somewhere else and come in on a day-to-day.
Yeah, commuters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the big challenge before us right now. And, there are some efforts going forward to address that. But I think we have to be careful about how we do that as well, because we've built quite a bit of what I guess I would call the higher end of the market. Now we have to look at how do we actually affect the middle and lower part of the market so that it functions for our citizens who, you know, live and work here on a day-to-day basis.
Sprinkle in a little capitalism, and all of a sudden that gets a little blurred, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a hard issue. It's a very hard issue. But
no, we'll be keeping an eye on it. And hey, we really thank you for your time. We're gonna bug
you.
We're gonna bug you again next month. And okay. We'll have Keith secret knock. We'll send the courier over with the letter. And yeah. We'll do this again because this was too much fun, and I got other stuff to do for you, and that we
that
just can't
great.
Fit this morning.
I think our plans to travel have been pretty well fulfilled for a while, so we'll be around.
Awesome.
We did get out to California, and California came to us. Both families came to visit us once—one in September and one in August. So, yeah, we had great visits, and we visited out there. And Sue and I just came back from Traverse City, Michigan, so we had a great time up there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Were the leaves already changing up there in Canada?
You know what? We came back to town, and I told the neighbors. I said the best color we saw was at the intersection of 17th and Jordan Avenue.
Good. Well, I'm glad you didn't miss anything. You've got it here all weekend to enjoy.
Yeah, up by the IU police.
Yeah.
Building. Yeah, it's just beautiful color up there. No, the trees had not turned up in Michigan yet.
They must have got plenty of rain then. Well, good for them.
Yeah, and actually, we didn't go up there for the color. We just went up just to go up and check around and see. We hadn't been up to Sleeping Bear Dunes for many, many years, and it was time to get back, so we did.
Busy crowd up there or light crowd?
You know, we went up on a Tuesday and
came back
on a Monday, so or left on Monday. So weekend, of course, was busy, but during the week it was great. And the weather was just like here.
See,
perfect.
Retirement has its benefits. Make your
own
schedule.
Yeah.
Hey, great job. The phone will ring sooner than later if there's any movement on this convention center thing. But if not, we'll reach out here in a few weeks.
Don't hold your breath on that. It's going to take a while.
Right. And that's why we'd call you if anything happened quickly, because that would make me itch and scratch and something would break out or whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Great stuff as always. Great to hear
it's
your voice.
Good talking to you. You know, and just one more time.
Please.
I just want to thank all the people who've been so kind and generous to Sue and me. It's a little hard to go to Kroger these days. People stop us in the aisle.
Hey, put that into your busy day. Yeah. Write that into your calendar.
Yeah.
Great,
anyway,
Tim. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks for all the support over the years. Yes,
absolutely. Well, you're not going anywhere. You'll be back next month.
Take care, Tim.
Good job. Bye-bye. Tim Mayer, how about that? Former city council. It's fun to talk. And people say, why do you just talk to him for 25 minutes?
Because he's got a grasp on everything.
Perspective.
That's right.
Because he can talk about things. He doesn't have to give
he's
you
the... been there. He's
but,
done
But
it.
He doesn't have to go to the meeting tomorrow night and say, hey, why did you talk to those two knuckleheads on the radio and give our secrets or whatever it is? No, that's good. You have to have perspective, and Tim Mayer's had perspective. He's had it from a helicopter. He's had it at meetings. He's had it, and that's why we want to bring him on, because I think that you have to know where you've come from to figure out where you're going. You just can't jump in and do this, and he helps us bridge that gap.